Hello and welcome, fellow awesomeologists to Awesomeology. My name's Sue.
And I'm Ben. And in this episode, we are welcoming Toby Weingart, Chief Program Officer at the National Credit Union Foundation. Welcome to the show, Toby.
Hello, Ben and Sue. I'm so happy to be here with you this morning.
We're so happy to have you.
Yes, thank you for being with us. I think the last time I saw your face, IRL, was a year and a half ago when I was graduating from DE. So it's exciting to see you again. We're going to get to all of the things, everything about you. You're going to tell us all kinds of things.
But life story. We're expecting life story.
Yes. But let's start, because we have listeners that are not credit union people. Let us start with explaining to us, what is the National Credit Union Foundation?
Sure. So the National Credit Union Foundation is the charitable arm of the U.S. credit union movement. We are America's credit union's foundation. And so we exist to uphold and maintain the mission and the heart of America's credit unions.
It seems like you've said that once or twice before. Well done.
Thank you.
Maybe it's come up in the past for you.
Yes, I think it has. It's always great to be able to clarify for folks what we are and what our purpose is and what we do. And it is a wonderful, wonderful organization, wonderful to be able to do the work every single day to, again, make sure that our credit unions are keeping their mission front of mind as we look to serve our members.
So Sue mentioned her graduating from DE about a year ago. You should definitely give us a little flavor of what DE is. Also, you talk about the foundation being the charitable arm of the movement in the U.S. Maybe tell us a bit more about like pillar activities of the foundation, or maybe some of the things that you think are the coolest impact that the foundation makes possible.
Sure. So I will start with the pillars and then we can dive into DE from there. So the foundation works under three primary pillars, and we call them Ignite, Inspire, and Respond. The Ignite pillar primarily focuses on financial health and well-being for all U.S. consumers, primarily doing work in financial well-being for all, which for credit unions is the reimagining or the modernizing of our people helping people philosophy. So how can we leverage data and key insights, again, while keeping our mission front of mind and that people helping people philosophy front of mind in our business decision making? We at the foundation also do this work through the grants programs that we offer. We currently have two grants operating out of the foundation. The first is Knowing and Helping Your Members, which is in partnership with Attune and Copera. And those two organizations are working closely with credit unions across the U.S. as they look to take deep dives into their data to better understand who's being served, but also identify opportunities as to who they could be serving better or more inclusively. So we are in the middle of that work and delighted to have those strong partnerships with Attune and Copera. The other grant we have out that was just announced is we have launched just under $300,000 into the U.S. credit union movement for approximately 9 credit unions to do a foster youth grant program. And this grant addresses the need for foster youth to have access to quality financial literacy, particularly as they leave the foster care system. And so we've just begun that, and we look forward to tracking and reporting and getting that information back out to credit unions once those 9 credit unions have completed. So that is our Ignite pillar. In our Inspire pillar, we have our work that we do around education programs. That includes development education. So credit union development education, CUED, is our premier program, I would say. It has been around for 42 years in the United States. And originally, it was very much volunteer run and based out of a lot of the work from the Peace Corps. So the original idea was, how can we create essentially a Peace Corps of credit union professionals ready to go out and take care of folks while also supporting their financial services needs? And from there, it has evolved. And it is now a premier program for credit union folks, people who have their CUED designation proudly display those letters at the end of their signatures. So if you've seen the CUED, that's what it is. It's an immersion. It's a deep dive into how we can leverage our credit union principles and philosophies to serve for the most pressing socioeconomic challenges and needs facing our members, our staff, and our communities. And we hold our programs in Madison, Wisconsin. We have one down at Suncoast Credit Union in Florida. And then we also hold a virtual program. So we have various avenues that people can interact with us with DE. We also offer Exploring Why programs, which are many bites of credit union principles and philosophy. So how we can leverage our credit union difference. And we work primarily with credit unions and also with our league and state credit union foundation partners to deliver that. And then we also, under our Inspire pillar, are able to award credit union professionals who have shown exceptional, exemplary work in addressing and meeting our credit union mission, meeting the moment with that, with our Herb Wegner Memorial Awards, which have been announced for next year. And then we have the honor of having those awardees at our foundation dinner, which occurs simultaneously with America's Credit Union's Governmental Affairs Conference. In, I think it's early March this year. It's not February, early March. It moved a weekend back, I should say. So we are so delighted that we're going to be honoring those folks. And then finally, last but certainly not least, with the foundation is our Respond pillar. And this is our CU Aid program. This is people helping people in action for credit unions. So the National Credit Union Foundation has a fund designated for credit union professionals who've experienced a natural disaster. We fundraise on the national level, and then we work with our state credit union foundations and leagues to distribute those funds to credit union professionals in need when a natural disaster strikes. So currently, we are working very closely with our partners in the Carolinas, as well as from the League of Southeast, to distribute funds to folks who've been affected by the most recent and devastating hurricanes. So we continue to fundraise. And then, of course, many of our state foundations have their own disaster relief funds as well, and they continue to fundraise. So it's the power of cooperation, Principle 6, coming together to take care of our credit union professionals in those times of need. So it's a lot of wonderful things that we have the opportunity to do at the foundation. And we do that with a mighty team of 13. So just to kind of put this in perspective for everyone, the foundation is able to make a huge impact with a very passionate and dedicated staff.
Yeah, amazing. So you have a couple of things going on. Awesome.
Yeah, a couple. but they're so heartwarming, and they're truly pure in intent in trying to ensure that people have what they need to be successful. Whether it's a roof over their head or the education that they need or the grant funding to better impact their communities. Those are remarkable when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. The coolest thing about the foundation is just this like next level opportunity for credit unions to make an impact. And the foundation kind of creates the vehicle or vehicles for all of that to happen, right? I mean, credit unions doing their own amazing work, you know, kind of boots on the ground stuff in their communities around the country for sure. But through networks that, you know, get created through DE and through things like disaster response and all of that, I mean, just, you know, ways to kind of amplify or impact beyond our own communities and use that super tight, super powerful network of credit union people and credit union organizations that we all talk about as kind of the magic, the secret sauce of the industry. And the foundation kind of creates a space for that to all become possible. It's a beautiful thing for sure.
It is indeed.
So now that we've learned a whole lot about the foundation and you know, we're all big advocates and believers in what y'all do and everything, can you tell us a little bit like about your journey and how you got to the foundation?
Sure. So I began my credit union journey at Educators Credit Union in southeastern Wisconsin. I was newly graduated from the University of Georgia. My parents had moved to Wisconsin due to my dad's job. And so like any good millennial, I moved back in with mom and dad, and I brought my dog, I brought my Puggle, and I lived with mom and dad. And my I was trying to figure out if I wanted to go to grad school. At that point, I had been accepted into law school, and I wasn't really sure if that's what I wanted to do or not. So I deferred. I deferred acceptance to law school. And much to probably my parents' dismay that I did that, I'll just put that in as just a truth. It's being truly transparent. I think they were like, oh yeah, this is the direction she's going in. And I applied to the credit union down the street. I was living in downtown Milwaukee at the time. And I was just looking for a foot in the door somewhere, a place to get some experience. Honestly, health insurance was still a thing. We didn't have carryover health insurance yet. You couldn't just stay on your parents' plan after you graduated. So I was hired in as a full-time loan officer, which at Educators didn't just mean I got to do loans, because if you saw my credit card balances at the time, you would have not wanted me to do any of your lending. And I began as a teller, and I started out on the front line, and I learned all the ins and outs of taking care of people and their financial questions from that perspective, and then learn how to open accounts and learn how to do account management as a member services rep, and eventually made it to loan training, but not before I got hired into the training department. So I then became a trainer, and I did a lot of new employee orientation training, member service training, eventually did, yes, loan training, did, of course, loans because of that loan training, spending time in our contact center, some work in our branches. But eventually ended up managing the training department, and the credit union at the time was rapidly growing, because I was so fortunate to work at Educators, which I truly believe is a gem when it comes to being mission focused in the decisions that we make. We always talked about doing the right thing, acting with honesty and integrity, and really looking out for our members and our communities and those decisions that we were making on their behalf. So as my career grew in training, I was able to then impart those values into our new employees, which was fantastic. Then just continued helping the credit union grow, supporting them from a training and development perspective on new initiatives that the credit union was doing. There were some mergers in there as well. There were new systems coming in left, right, and center. And one of the programs we brought in was, at the time, CUNA's Creating Member Loyalty. And we recognized as we were growing, we had an opportunity to create some consistency in our operations and communications as we were working with our members. And as we were bringing that program in, we were doing really well. It was really successful. And then there was an opening at then CUNA for someone. They needed someone on their team to go over to Creating Member Loyalty. And so they reached out to me, and they were like, hey, have you thought about coming to CUNA? And I was like, no, never had. I was like, no, I didn't really think we were going to be in Wisconsin. And side note, I did meet my husband at the credit union. He's no longer in credit unions. He's an engineer, but that's part of my story too. That's probably why I stayed in Wisconsin as long as I did. But I ended up over in Madison. We decided to leave Racine and go to Madison. And our daughter Betty was about 2 at the time. And I got to see the credit union system from a whole different perspective on the national level, understanding how our trade association supports our credit unions. And while I was at Educators, I should backtrack, I went through credit union development education. So at Educators, we didn't have DEs on staff. It wasn't that mission wasn't a part of who we were. It just was not a training, I think, that had been explored at the time. So I remember finding it online. I remember this because I was sitting in my cubicle and marching upstairs to our chief human resources officer. And saying, hey, I want to do this training. I remember being like, why do you want to spend 10 days in a dorm in Madison, Wisconsin, learning about credit unions? It was like, you know everything you need to know to do a great job. And I was like, just trust me on this. If I go and it's a waste of time, then we don't have to ever send anybody ever again. And I'll just be the guinea pig. Of course, I ended up going, having just a fantastic time. So while I was at CUNA, I had the chance to get reconnected with the DE group, because the foundation was just sitting a floor above me. So I had a chance to get reconnected with the gang over at the foundation. I had a great time working in Creating Member Loyalty. I got to meet wonderful credit unions from across the nation, wonderful people as passionate about taking care of the training and development needs of their staff as I was. And then as the job continued to grow and expand, then the opportunity for the foundation came on to join them as the in education programs. And so I said, well, it's time to take another leap. I had been at, I think, CUNA proper for about 3.5 years at that point, or 3 years-ish. And it was time to move on. And so I moved over to the foundation and again got to take another dive and another journey into how the credit union movement continues to keep people at the center of our business model and do it through the lens of mission-based training, do it through the lens of how we leverage our credit union difference every single day, where creating member loyalty was very much about tactical pieces. And I know that many people probably listening to this podcast are familiar with some of those programs, whether they did BDST, whether they've done Service Star, Creating Member Loyalty, all of those have very similar types of drum beats. And so this was an opportunity to look at things through a different angle and lens. And while I was doing mission-based training and really diving into our exploring why and exploring our values, functionalities, had the chance to start co-facilitating DE. And after co-facilitating DE a couple of times, our organization was maturing and growing. And so my boss at the time had the chance to move into a different role. And so I moved into becoming the DE director, which is not just taking a look at things domestically, but also internationally and having those international touch points, because mm-hmm. there are international DE programs. And then just last year, moved into the chief program officer role, where I oversee not only DE and our education programs, but I also support our FinHealth fund work. So we have a designated fund to bring financial health and well-being education out into the credit union land. And then I also help support and oversee our grants work and the work aligned with that. So I have a fabulous team that I work with to do all the things. And that's been my journey. I was an I3er. I'm trying to think what else I've done in credit union land. I've been through many of the certifications mm-hmm. through America's Credit Unions that have helped me mm-hmm. along the way as well. And taking advantage of networking and building out a network of just fabulous, like-minded people, I think, has also been an integral part of my journey.
That is quite the journey.
Yeah.
And I moved back to Georgia, part yeah. of it too. So now I'm back in the South. So I've reacclimated. So I no longer I can't be cold anymore. And I don't want to ever move back to somewhere with a snowblower. I have to be honest. I got to be transparent.
Yeah, that's fair. We appreciate your transparency.
Good for you. We understand. Yeah. You get it.
I know.
Yeah. Well, seriously, you've done a lot along the way, and good on you to, you know, take the leap of faith, or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, made you open to some of these new opportunities that have gotten you to where you are now. What do you say to someone who's, I don't know, been with a credit union, maybe not for too long, maybe for a long, long time, and either an opportunity within their own organization or maybe somewhere else within credit unions, you know, what do you say to someone like that to, I don't know, give them the nudge to at least consider it, or maybe even make a move that takes them somewhere new?
Yeah, a couple of things. I will say to someone who's new, it does, your tenure does not necessarily matter when it comes to some of these opportunities. It's about your heart and your passion and what you believe in and what you think is going to be right for you. Because sometimes everyone's looking for right timing. And of course, there are things where timing isn't the best for you, whether it's in your personal life or in your professional life. But really think about that. No matter your tenure, go with your gut. I think sometimes we get might hesitate to have a conversation or explore an opportunity because it may feel disloyal, or it may feel you may get into your own head. But really look at it as a conversation to just explore and discover. I call it window shopping. It's okay to window shop. Doesn't mean you have to buy. It also doesn't mean if you go through the process and you realize it's not for you, that you can't say this isn't really the right fit for me. So I think it's having that explorer mindset on the cap on at all times, maybe thinking of yourself as, I don't know why Steve Irwin comes to mind, but I guess that's my explorer of the day. But just kind of having that safari hat on and being comfortable with exploring. And then if that's not the journey for you, there's another trail. there's another trail. There's another spot.
Yeah. I love that. I love the advice of going with your gut. I mean, especially thinking that there might be several people, maybe even, dare I say, the majority of people in this industry that are, you know, very fact-based, analytical, got to see the data, you know, all of that kind of stuff, or be able to prove or know that this move is going to be good for them and exactly where they need to be and the right fit and all that stuff. And yeah, like all of that is important, certainly in our day-to-days. And then also, I suppose, when considering a new opportunity. But sometimes, though, like you need to trust your gut, you need to trust your heart, you know, and just roll with it and make your best. And like you said, sometimes you'll be pleasantly surprised. Other times, maybe you just need to keep the receipt and return that thing that you bought while you were shopping, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's okay to also take time to make decisions. I think sometimes as well, folks are like, oh, well, this is happening and I have to act so quickly on it, or I'm never going to have another opportunity. And the reality is that that's likely not the case. If you were on a journey and you were somebody's like top candidate and you realize it's not the right fit for you right now, the likelihood is probable that you will in the future be somebody else's top fit and top candidate for another opportunity that you may end up loving even more. So really also trusting a little bit in the karma of the universe in this as well can, I think, go a long way for folks.
Dare we say trust the process?
Trust the process, Ben and Sue. We have to trust the process.
Right. So Toby, one of my toxic traits is that when I find out someone was involved with creating member loyalty, I have to fixate on that for a little while. I was an organizational trainer as well.
Do you want me to leave you two alone for a minute?
Yeah, could you? I mean, we kind of want to.
We could do a skill practice.
Yeah. Could we make Ben go through a skill practice, please?
We could. We have a set.
I'm already with my feedback, Ben. But for me, so I was certified in about 2012 and helped start the program at Simplicity, and then did that 3, maybe 4 years ish for the credit union. And there was really something. I love how you point out the difference between that, which is highly tactical, and then the work at the foundation. Because as you were explaining all of that, I had to think about my journey, which was creating member loyalty, which was, you know, I was fully consumed by for about 3 or 4 years. And then fast forward 6, 7 years, I'm not doing the math well, to DE, which is really that complete other side. It's sort of the, you know, I don't know, dark side and light side of the moon. It's the yin and yang of that experience. And I don't think I ever really reflected on how true that was. But let's dwell on creating member loyalty for just a minute, because I really do feel like it was the insights that I took out of that were pretty formative in how I understood connecting with people and the purpose behind those sales and relationship interactions. So what, just because you are my creating member loyalty buddy on this podcast right now, what is something that you took out of that program that you've never, that you still carry with you?
Oh, I think that one of the best parts of creating member loyalty was making and handling a request. And building that camaraderie with your team members and how you approach people, and then how you also respond and create accountability in that whole communication process. Because that is all, that's really what creating member loyalty is it's teaching and engaging folks to experience how to build relationships, and the recognition that we've got folks from all walks of life coming into our credit unions. We need common language, common ways of going about taking care of business in order to better serve at the end of the day our members, right? So I took that away, and I still use those skills every day. And I will also say that I think creating member loyalty, along with a lot of the great products that America's Credit Unions puts out, really focus on what I would say is the head of, like, your cerebral, your the day-to-day business. And credit union development education is the heart of what we do. And that's what the foundation is here for, is to really bring the heart into all of that, what Ben describes as analytical decision-making that happens in financial services. So that's my skill. Sue, I'm wondering what is the skill you keep front of mind as you've moved through your career?
So, well, the thing that I cite for people all of the time is the fact that there are only two reasons people buy anything, because they need it or because it fills, what is it? Now I've forgotten it. Tell me. It fulfills a need. Mm-hmm. Why is my brain has gone completely blank, but there's only two reasons people buy. It fulfills a need or it makes them happy. That's what it is. And I don't know what it was about that idea for me, but it especially having moved into full-time marketing, to understand that and to say, you know, the things particularly in marketing, and particularly when we're talking about marketing financial products, this old-fashioned idea that we're going to show them rates and we're going to talk about, you know, this practical thing, as opposed to thinking, well, either you have a need or we have to make you happy. It completely changed my view on how some of that work can get done. So that's my big one. But yes. Yeah, really all of those processes, you know, to break it down, each one of those skills, and to break each one down and think about the reasoning behind it. I think about building and enhancing self-esteem, which is, you know, fortunately, you well know, you do this every day for a certain amount of time, and it does actually become a habit. It does actually, you know, especially, which is funny because as I was training it, people going, how am I ever going to remember this? I'm not going to, you know, be able to do this stuff. And to come out of that and thinking, well, you know, this is actually just the way I talk now.
Right. It's so true. Right. It's so true. Even when I'm now at the front of the room facilitating, I facilitate better, I would say, because of my experience with creating member loyalty, which that led me when I was at CUNA to build the Certified Credit Union Facilitator School. So that's one of my things that I had the opportunity to work on while at CUNA, because I feel so strongly about having positive front of the room communications as we are working with staff and as we are developing people and as we're working, if they feel good about the training they're going through. Sue, you well know it translates to how staff work with our members, whether we are fulfilling a need or working to make them happy, because then that also then ties back to financial well-being, because we know that people have a visceral response to money. So it's all a part of an ecosystem, friends. It all comes together really nicely. It just so happens that we in the credit union movement do some of that work in various organizations, but it's truly a system of information and education.
Right. And it does, I think, by getting in touch with each one of these different organizations, you really become a much more full credit union person.
And they're just filled with wonderful people.
Right.
Yeah. For all right, sure. Toby, your answer can't be CMO. I'm just kidding. In all of your experience with CUNA, America's Credit Unions, the foundation, what's your favorite program or initiative and why?
Because I'm thinking actually back, I'm gonna actually think back prior to even being at the national level and talk about something we did at our credit union long before we did CML. We did something called Mission Possible. And Mission Possible was kind of the precursor to CML in our credit union. This was a program that was based on how we could help improve our overall net promoter scores. And we would take a micro grouping of branches, and we would take them through this communication and relationship development training. It was done all locally. And it was very celebratory from point A to point B. So folks got to come to our home office. We were able to go through the training. People were able to spend time together and build relationships cross branch and cross functionally. They had on-site observations we were able to do to help build their self-esteem and establish rapport. And then at the end, we had this fabulous celebration party for the staff. And it was like, we rolled out a red carpet. We would give out awards. It was truly meant to be from soup to nuts, just overall, you're doing a great job and how can we continue to improve? And I think that was all done in-house in partnership with a consultant locally that we worked with. And it was, again, my first real, I would say, end-to-end overall org development project that I can honestly walk away and say, I'm so honored that I got to be a part of it and I got to be a part of people's journeys, because things are coming full circle for me now at DE. I now have people who worked at educators. They might still be at educators or they've moved to other credit unions in Wisconsin that are now coming through DE. And they're like, oh, you helped train me on this. Or, oh, one person recently told me, you were that crazy woman at the front of the room telling us why banks were bad and credit unions were good. I was like, well, first of all, I'm glad to know that you realize I'm actually not crazy and I was telling the truth. And second of all, I'm so glad that we've reconnected in this way. So I would say that. I would also say on the national level, I think Filene's I3 program, I know Ben and I spent a lot of time together in that Wave 15, but what? And that was so important in my journey because it gave me a chance to really develop professionally as a credit union person. And then internationally going to DE European Union, I went to an international DE a year after completing US DE. And I went because my husband is from the United Kingdom and the program was in Liverpool. He's from a village not too far from there. So he got to spend time with his mom and dad, and I had the chance to go on scholarship. They were so gracious and gave me a scholarship to learn more about how the various credit union systems in Europe operate. And that really opened my eyes as well, because it reminded me, taught me that we do a lot of great things in the U.S. when it comes to financial services. Yes, and there are a lot of wonderful things happening internationally as well that we can learn from. So if anybody's listening is like, how can I learn more about international related credit union stuff? The World Wide Foundation for Credit Unions is one stop to take a look at and get connected with. There are also some leagues that will do journeys with various trade associations internationally as well. So just a lot of great things to learn from that too. I've got to do some cool stuff. I'm going to be just really
heck
honest.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I really have awesome. And met really cool people on the way.
So here's the big question. Here's a big question for you. Something that is on our minds this year. And we're asking everybody we interview about it, because we're writing a book about purpose in marketing. Mm-hmm. And we have talked to everyone who's come on the podcast about their life's purpose and what they believe about purpose. So this is the big question for you, Tope. What would you say is your life's purpose?
I think it is for me, for someone to know that they are truly cared about, that they have a purpose. I think that's my purpose, is to help others recognize that they have purpose. That's it.
I love that. That's something that we haven't really heard yet this year, at least not as cleanly as that, maybe.
That's why I think I have one of the coolest jobs in credit unions, is every single day. That's what my work and the work of my team, that's what we're working towards, is the recognition that you, in your unique individualistic way, have a purpose, not only in your own life, of course, but also in the work that you do. It matters. And we need people to show up just as they are with the talents that they have, to not compare themselves to ABC person or XYZ person, but to be who they are, because it is that, it's that combination of talents. It's that ecosystem of different folks coming together that really allows this movement to move forward. And I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I love that you pointed out that that sort of danger of comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially maybe in smaller credit unions, but, you know, it's been my experience coming up through, you know, growing up in credit unions, that people, there's a danger that you see one path across the credit union, like from teller to lending to, you know, management to retirement. And that, you know, is this really singular path. And there's so much, even in a small credit union where maybe that's the entire structure, there's so much ability to express your own talents and to, you know, to use the power that you have innately in you that doesn't have to be precisely how everyone else experiences that journey. And then when you look at the whole credit union ecosystem, you realize that there are partners and programs and, you know, all these different providers that help support the credit union ecosystem, that if you love credit unions and you just don't want to be in a credit union anymore, there are places you can go that are supporting that mission every single day and so fully with their whole heart.
100%. It is truly a symphony, and the music wouldn't sound right if we were missing one particular section. And I remember when I started at Educators, there were two women who were leaders in our organization, Shannon Hewitt, who's still there, Michelle Gaber, who is no longer at Educators, but is now a professor down at UW Parkside in the business department. And they both told me, they're like, it's okay to not know what you want to be when you grow up, because you're at the credit union and you can pick your path. And so it's something I've held on to. And I do think that, and that's why, going back to the conversation we're having a bit earlier about window shopping and keeping your heart open to opportunity, that's why I think that's so important. Because to your point, Sue, a lot of people see these linear types of paths. But I'm from the Deep South, so I'll use this analogy. There are plenty of dirt roads you should go down as well, because they are just as beautiful. They might be a little bumpy, but they're just as beautiful and totally worthwhile.
Yeah, and sometimes they're even a shortcut, right?
That's right. Well, Google Maps will take you on them. I just, fair warning, if you are driving through South Georgia and it's like, turn on this random road, there is a high likelihood, friends, it is not paved, so just prepare yourself.
Yeah,
but it is a shortcut. Don't go down it if it's been raining. That, I will say that. Yeah. Full disclosure.
Awesome. Well, Toby, tell us how people can learn more about you, other things you'd like people to get connected to or know.
Absolutely. So first of all, to learn more about the National Credit Union Foundation, you can find us at www.ncuf.coop. We are also on Instagram and on LinkedIn primarily. We also have some Facebook presence. If you want to learn more about DE, ncuf.coop is your place to go. If you want to get on our wait list for DE, or you want to learn more about how to register for DE, we have our programs open for 2025. And while February and June are sold out, we still have spots in September and October, and would love to have more folks join us on the DE journey. You can email us at cude@ncuf.coop. To get in touch with me, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm the only Toby Weingart you're going to find out there. And I look forward to connecting with folks, and happy to have further discussions around credit unions, purpose, mission-based training, all of the above, or get you connected to our great team at the foundation if there's another avenue that you are interested in exploring for your credit union or credit union organization.
Awesome. Thank you. We will share all the links out to folks that might be interested in any of that. And we'll just, I'm sure I speak behalf on Sue to say, we'll just plus one and advocate that all of those things that you shared are awesome opportunities. So if you're even slightly thinking about it, just do it. All right. Let us transition into our closing, where we which we call our Something Awesome segment, where we share recommendations for cool things, experiences, stuff we've seen, watched, heard, done, whatever it might be. So Toby, if you have come prepared, good on you. If not, I'll kick us off and you've got a little bit of time to think about it. And really, it's whatever you want to define as awesome is up to you, and you can share. So I'm going to kick us off with a new podcast that I just started listening to. I'm like 3 episodes in right now. As Sue knows, we've been doing a bit of driving lately. So some time in the car to check out something new. And there's this podcast called Sold a Story, which is really interesting. It kind of dives into the world of education and talks about this method of teaching kids to read and how it kind of like took hold industry wide, really driven by like one main provider of like curriculum and stuff. It really kind of went against the research and the science that told people how folks learn how to read, how kids learn how to read, and try to teach it a different way, and a way that's not so good and has actually impacted kids negatively for a long time and is still impacting them today. So it's super eye-opening, very like investigative journalism style that's also like backed up with a bunch of research and kind of this global method to teach kids how to read. Or not, depending on the method that they're talking about and how it's really kind of impacted the whole industry in a really negative way. And kind of like this, it's almost like a microcosm of like greater issues in the world where one group of people or one organization with a whole lot of power and influence over a whole industry or sector can really impact things, sometimes for good, for sure, but also sometimes not so much. So Sold a Story, we'll share a link to that. Definitely check it out. It's a good one. Toby, what you got?
Sure. So being in the nonprofit space, I follow and things pop up on social media for me of different nonprofit organizations. And one that I have found particularly awesome, can't think of its name, but it's pretty darn unique. And it actually has to do with books. Is a nonprofit in the United Kingdom, and they are wood carvers, and they carve books out of wood, the pages of children's books, so that children that are visually impaired can experience reading through touch.
Wow.
So yes, isn't it? It's fantastic. And these books are free. So it's essentially a traveling library, and they bring these children together, their families, and they give them the hope of having access to the wonderful world of children's books and children's literature. And the book they feature primarily is The Hungry Caterpillar. Mm. And of course, who doesn't love the beautiful colors of The Hungry Caterpillar? I don't know a parent that doesn't really read Hungry Caterpillar. Whether you love it because the caterpillar is always hungry and your kids are always hungry and they want snacks, or if you like the hungry caterpillar is gluttonous. I don't know if I like the hungry caterpillar. All judgment aside, I've said hungry caterpillar. I just think it's a wonderful reminder that there are opportunities, again, with unique talents, going back to individualism and they'll bring unique things to make a positive impact on our communities. The other awesome thing I would say is you know, you've probably in your, you got that one friend that you haven't talked to in a while. And then you make a scheduled phone date because that's what we have to do these days. And you can literally pick up from where you left off 3, 4, 5 months ago. I think that's awesome. So if folks are listening, if you haven't talked to your best friend or an old friend 3, 4, 5 months, make the phone date. Schedule the phone call. It's totally worth it. It will uplift your spirits in so many ways. I just think that is just an awesome thing about being human.
Love it.
Love that. I have to, before you go, Sue, I have to reflect a little bit. Well, and first off, Sue, you're Something Awesome. Better be about reading or literature or something to stay on theme, just saying. Mm-hmm. Toby, I love you. And that is totally right. And talking about this idea of like picking up where we left off. It's been some time since we talked, but obviously we shared some time together in I3 and so many other things along the way. So it's so good to see you. And I feel like we've done just that, like picked up right where we left off. So proof right here in this episode that that's how things can go with good friends for sure. And I have to share just an example of a story that just happened yesterday as I was driving. Old friend's name popped up in my head because I had missed a call from him like a month ago, probably more actually, now that I think about it. And his name would keep popping up in my head, like, oh, I gotta call him back. I gotta call him back. And I'd be in a meeting or something. I'll call him right after this meeting. And then, you know, it leaves the brain, right? And so I was driving and I was like, oh, I'm gonna call him. I'm gonna call Zach. And I called him and come to find out he's expecting, he and his wife are expecting their first child. And so, like, just call, just make the call, you know, like, you might not get news like that every time, but gosh, I'm so glad that I called him, you know. But anyway,
it's the best.
Yeah,
that's wonderful news. Okay, so I am going to use my marketing skills and I am going to spin mine to be about reading.
Oh, there we go.
Really, sort of not about reading. So, but I recently took some time that I did do some reading. So, quick, here's the nutshell version. And to bring Toby up to speed, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast, but I'll bring Toby up to speed. I ran for state assembly. And so from June until November 5th of this year, my every moment that I was not at work, and don't tell Ben, but some moments when I was at work as well, were totally occupied by that as a project. And it takes an emotional toll on a human being to be completely consumed like that. And so once the election was over, I got the, they called my race at about 10:45 on Tuesday night. I called my opponent to congratulate him. And then the next day I left and went to a place called Postcard Cabins, which is, they have a location, they have locations across the country, but they have one sort of about an hour away from me in Wild Rose. And it has tiny house cabins in it. It's sort of a campgroundy kind of place, but these tiny little cabins have basically enough room to cook a little bit of food. There is running water, hot water, great big bed, giant window. And for the first time in my life, I went away by myself. I took a book. I took a needle felting kit. I taught myself to needle felt while I was there. And I just had peace and quiet for about 2 days. And I listened to music and I read my book and I made tomato soup and I paid the extra so that someone else would set up my fire.
Nice. Smart.
Worth it. Mm-hmm. So I sat by a fire by myself and just let all of the thoughts go away, because I had broadband access. I could access the internet, but I set my phone down and did not think about it. And it restored all of the broken synapses in my brain, all of the nerves that were damaged across my entire body started to heal. So I recommend unplugging. I'm sure this is not news to anyone who has already done it, but I've never done it to this extent. And just getting to where you can find a little bit of peace. And it's good because we still have a lot of work to do. But I felt like I could face what I have left to do once I came back from that. So that is my official recommendation. Get out in the woods.
Amazing.
Yeah, very cool.
Now I'm like, oh, I need to book one of those.
Yeah.
And I love Northern Wisconsin, so you don't really have to twist my arm to do that.
Right. Right.
That sounds amazing. Sue, good for you. Good for you for taking that time for yourself. That is so brave, because so many people just they move on without taking that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've done a lot of reflecting about how many things that, you know, the people I know, exactly to your point, moved on, said, you know, it's going to be fine. I just have to keep moving forward. So sometimes we got to take time to heal. So,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Very cool. We'll share that link as well.
Yes.
Toby, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate the time and everything that you shared, all the cool opportunities for people. And it's just awesome to see you.
It's great to see you both. And the next time we do this, it needs to be like in person in Marshfield, Wisconsin.
Hey, heck yeah.
Yes, please.
Heck yeah, you know, there you go.
Yeah. Anytime. Like, we are there, Toby. It's just
I know
you there.
I will make that drive. I know that drive. I've been out by Simplicity before many, many years ago. So I know the drive north and where to get off and the cow fields I need to pass. I'm here for it. So we absolutely do. And it's nice to have a conversation with people who have kindred spirits. So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in and joining us. You can always catch up on some of these great conversations we've had with some amazing, amazing people like Toby all year long on your favorite podcast app, or you can find them all at our blog at exclamationcuso.com/blog.
Thanks again, Toby. Thank you, friends, for tuning in. Be awesome and see you next time.
The Osmology Podcast is a production of Exclamation Services. Thanks to Nick Mulliver for sound production and Kylie Ganther for our cover artwork.
Executive producers are me, Ben Bauer, and my friend, Suzanne Campbell.